My name is David Tessar, and I am a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft focused on DevOps.
And I'm Steve Morawski. I'm a software development engineer at Chef Software on the community engineering team.
And today we are joined by Samir at Kaikoura, and we have a pretty amazing story to tell with Kaikoura and some of the business challenges they've overcome and a big impact on implementing DevOps practices using Chef and Microsoft Azure. So Samir, could you tell us a little bit about what Kaikoura does and what your role is there?
Sure, so I manage DevOps at Kaikoura, and Kaikoura is a fast-growing company based right here in Chicago that does e-discovery software in the legal industry.
And what are some of the challenges that you have overcome from implementing DevOps practices there at your company?
So Matt, we have 62 environments, 995 servers, and we have no way to know that those servers are all alike. It is a tremendous challenge that's seen not only at Kaikoura, it's seen all over the industry. That challenge is one that we as a company and we as an industry really needed to solve, and that we need to solve quickly, because the more rapidly we want to develop software, the more we need our slowest links to be faster. And right now, our slowest link is configuration management, setting up new environments. We need that to be fixed right now so that we can develop software at the speed that our software developers can.
Okay, and what are some of the pains you had with those server environments and things like that?
Well, those server environments, we have 62 environments, like I said.
Yeah.
Those 62 environments, we've raised them from very, very young. I'd almost call them pets.
Okay.
We have 62 named pets that we started out with when they were very, very young. I remember the day one of my first environments said, "Hello, world." It was a great moment.
There you go. Yeah.
Those environments have been built up over time. And now, 4 or 5 years later, a lot of those environments are very, very, very rigid, they're very fragile. We don't want to touch them. We don't know the changes that have gone into them. We have a pretty good idea of them, and we think we can replicate them, but we can't say for sure that we can. Mm-hmm. That is a tremendous problem, because we don't want to live in a world where when one of our environments breaks, we have to go through a very, very long list of changes to try to troubleshoot and fix it.
Yeah, so I imagine that's like late nights staying up with your pets and your pet servers and trying to get them back to health, huh?
Exactly. For example, I remember just a couple of nights ago, we had a very late night where one of our server environments was down, and it was going to impact a large majority of our developers. We spent until 1 or 2 in the morning working on this environment, trying to get it working. We brought developers in to help us figure out how to get it working. And you know what? That's not something I want to repeat, right? That is a pain point that we as an industry have felt. In DevOps, we have all felt this. Right? We don't want to spend all of our time late at night trying to figure out why is this environment working. And worse than that is the problem that we often run into, which is, well, the code works on my desktop, but it doesn't work on the environment. Why is that? I don't know. We have to go through this pretty heavy process of troubleshooting. And in the meantime, if you think about what we're really doing, we've got a bunch of people, a bunch of developers who've written code. They're ready to get it out there. They're ready to add business value, and they can't because they have to wait until we can figure out how to get it working on our environment.
Well, Samir, I've spent most of my background as a Windows sysadmin, so I know that pain of troubleshooting. I know that 2 a.m. wake up because of the environment, something's wrong in the environment. What did you actually seek out so that you could actually begin to solve this problem in your environment?
A lot of what was done in the environment prior to where we are now was we tried to do things like use imaging.
Mm-hmm.
So we created snapshots of our environments, and this allowed us to very rapidly create many, many, many environments that were exactly alike. But we had a problem, because now, whenever we needed to make a change, you could make it on the base image, and every environment from that base image would have the change. But what about all of those other environments that you've already created? We decided that what we really needed was we needed two things. We needed a way to test our environments. Well, I guess we needed three things. We needed a way to test our environments. We needed a way to repair our environments. And then we needed a way to build our environments up. So when we looked at those three things, what we very quickly realized was that Chef did all of those for us in a very easy-to-use language that we could very quickly, rapidly implement we could put in the same kind of source control and use the same software development methodologies that software developers have been using, you know, since the 80s, and put that source, make our environments into code.
Now, that's an interesting process. And you mentioned Chef, and I'm from Chef, so my guess is that you decided to go with Chef for that purpose. Why Chef over anything else that's out there?
There were many reasons. Primarily, we wanted to use a language that we wanted to use a framework that had been in existence for a long time so that the ease of getting onto that framework wouldn't be tough. We have a lot of people who are going to be, you know, new to the whole idea of writing scripts in general. And we wanted to make sure that we gave them the opportunity to write something that had a lot of online resources available outside for easy adoption. We wanted to use something that had powerful, already community-written stuff that we could just leverage right off bat without making too many customizations initially.
Oh, we got that with the Chef supermarket.
Exactly. And the other nice thing that existed with Chef, apart from the large community base, was if we needed to have help in troubleshooting, there's a gigantic community of very open Chef developers and people who have implemented Chef who will be very willing to help us.
That is great to hear, because community is one of the things that we really like. So is there anything in particular also with Chef that kind of helps you in making that determination? Because we're also talking about Azure, right? And is there anything that kind of in the Chef ecosystem that can help you go from on-premise to Azure? Is that something that Chef can help out with?
Absolutely. So one of the other determining factors for why we chose Chef was we needed to make sure that we could go from on-prem to cloud very, very easily and very rapidly. Because if we're putting in this much investment to make our on-prem code infrastructure development process rock solid, I want to be able to reuse that same process, that same code in Azure. And Chef has this great tool called Chef Provisioning, where with a few simple clicks, you can go from your desktop to an on-prem instance, or with just adjusting a few variables, go to a working instance in Azure that looks exactly like the one that you created on-prem. And that is an incredibly powerful tool set.
Now that's sweet, because I know one of the major impediments to getting an environment up and running is all of those configuration steps. So being able to just kind of flip a variable and say, hey, instead of on-prem, do Azure, that's awesome. That can definitely help there.
So you've mentioned a lot of those pain points, and you've got this solution now. What are some of the benefits that your organization has started to see by implementing infrastructure as code with Chef Recipes?
We've been able to reduce the amount of time it takes to start up new environments. But, you know, time reduction is one thing, right? Saving 2 or 3 hours on bringing up a new environment is, don't get me wrong, very valuable. But more importantly, our environments are being brought up by code. So that means that my senior system admins don't have to sit there in front of the workstation bringing environments up. We have some environments that are very, very large, right? 32 servers. For my system admin to have to set that environment up, he has to essentially devote his full day to logging onto each of those servers. And I have to take my most senior person and devote him to this task. Now that we have our Chef implementations, we can have someone who is new right from onboarding. They can set up the environment, and I am guaranteed that environment is going to look exactly the same no matter who sets it up. And then lastly, and I think the coolest part is, no matter what happens, if someone goes and breaks that environment by accident, Chef is going to tell us and it's going to repair it for us. So now I can have 100% assurance that my environment is set up and running at all times. I have 995 servers. And now I finally have a way to start telling that they are all identical.
Very cool, very cool. You mentioned the high-value engineer type guy. Makes me think a little bit about Brent in the Phoenix Project, of the one guy who's like that critical guy who knows a lot of that special stuff. Could you maybe elaborate a little more about, maybe now that type of person inside your organization has more time freed up, what are some of the higher-value activities that person is now doing?
That person is now able to focus on environment optimization. He's able to focus on helping developers really troubleshoot the very difficult to resolve issues. So we used to have this case where we would have a large amount of operational tasks all the time and a teeny, teeny, tiny amount of time devoted to development tasks. Now that we have started to implement Chef, that development time has increased. But for every 1% increase we have in development time, our operational work goes down much more than 1%. It goes down 5, 10, 15%. That person is now able to focus on those heavy-hitting troubleshooting tasks that actually do require a lot of thought and do require a lot of expertise. Then he's also able to focus on environment optimization. So if someone says, this environment doesn't appear to be as fast as it should, he can help focus on, why is that? He can look through the code and realize, ah, this is set up as the wrong kind of RAID. Right? Before, he couldn't really do that. He had to go through and figure out, what could possibly be wrong with this environment? I have an infinite number of problems. Now we've been able to take that infinite number of problems and shrink it dramatically.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something that was just kind of a little bit subtle, maybe perhaps for folks that are here, which was ops guy and coding, right? So we're talking, you know, ops guys, were they coding before? Did they know Chef, you know, how to code with Chef and whatnot before? And how did that go over, you know, with folks? Yeah.
Our ops guys had some experience with, a little bit of experience with PowerShell based on looking at code that they would find on the web to automate some of their tasks. But when we started using Chef, we had a dramatic change. So now our ops guys were actually writing code. They were actually using source control, right? We had to install source control on our operational folks' machines. They had to actually use it. They had to use the same methodologies that our developers have used day in and day out. The initial reaction to this was extremely positive. They enjoyed it, and they enjoyed it even though it started to get a little frustrating when they came across problems that they couldn't solve, or they came across pieces of code from the Chef community sites that they really couldn't understand. But we implemented a very collaborative nature or environment where right in our Slack chat, you could type in any question that you had, and in a very non-judgmental way, someone would respond to you and help you explain it. When we did our first sprint review, one of the comments that was made was, I don't understand the code that's in this Ruby block. So the response to this wasn't, oh, how could you not understand this? The response was, how can we help make sure that you understand this? So we walked through that piece of Ruby code, and then we actually pointed our entire Slack channel at tryruby.org. And the response was tremendous. Everyone loved, you know, learning the new code, learning the new methodologies. It's been transformational just for our operations folks as well.
That's very cool stuff. It's like that infrastructure as code, it was kind of like that now common language that both dev and ops can speak for their overall infrastructure and collaborating on in a new efficient way.
Exactly. So, and yeah. Now whenever our devs want to make a software change or infrastructure change, they don't have to go to our ops people and say, here's the change I'd like to make. They can put that change into a recipe, check it into source control, our ops people can review it and implement it pretty much instantly. Our developers know that it's implemented exactly the way that they want to. And if we ever need to back it out, maybe 5, 10, 15 years from now when our no longer pet environments are in existence, we can back out changes individually without impacting anything else.
I imagine this took a little bit of time to get to this point. So was there any kind of challenges maybe like on the business side of, you've got all this investment of tons of people taking up ops and dev times to learn Chef, to learn Ruby, to produce this infrastructure as code? Was that at all, did that take a while to have that happen in terms of the business value?
So we're still on the journey in implementing Chef, and we're at the very beginning of our journey. But I think that we didn't have many challenges at all from our business partners, because the value was seen right from the start. The developers who we showed the concepts to, the operations folks who we showed the concepts to, every single person had a really good reason for wanting this infrastructure as code. Our ops people wanted to be able to implement changes rapidly across multiple servers, and they didn't want to stay up late at night. Right? Yeah. Our developers wanted to have the slow link of creating new environments or creating new testing environments to be shortened dramatically, and they wanted to be able to put changes in. And with infrastructure as code, we're able to do the true value of DevOps. We're able to bring developers and operations together and bring them together in such a way that all of us are producing code and moving our entire software application stack forward very rapidly.
So you're starting to describe, you know, where you want to go on your chef journey and your infrastructure as code journey. And I see the idea of, you know, I want to be able to make a change and get it in production really quickly. What other benefits do you see in following this infrastructure as code journey and embracing more of the more chef and more cloud, and how do you kind of how do you see that playing out for your business?
I see our ability to deliver software increasing dramatically. As our developers are making changes and they need to test a new version of software, we now have in our back pocket the ability, and we want to give it to our developers, the ability to create an environment at the click of a button that is 100% exactly what they're looking for with the new version of the software they are developing on there, with the new piece of code that they are developing on there. They can develop this in cloud, they can develop it on-prem, and they can have it be tested instantly.
No, that's sweet, because now you can actually build and test in a, you know, production-like environment, and you start eliminating some of those. You know, it works on my machine, but not in that pet environment.
Exactly.
You know, is there anything else that you're kind of finding as far as this journey moving through? We talked a little bit earlier about, you know, provisioning and how that's helping you move to the cloud. Is that something you want to, you know, invest more in? Is that something that's going to kind of help you move your story forward?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of things on the cloud that, specifically on Azure Cloud, that are going to really help drive our business super forward and our ability to do testing forward very rapidly. So there are technologies like Nano, mm-hmm, that I'd really like to get on. There's containerization that Chef provisioning is going to make enable us to do very easily, right? So few clicks of the key and you can go to Azure, few clicks of the key and you can go to on-prem, few clicks of the key, you can also go to Docker container.
Nice. Yeah.
So you had, you maybe now have, like, if you, from your hardware on-prem infrastructure, you maybe tap out that capacity, or maybe you just want one-off environments for different purposes, maybe like self-service portals or conference type things. You don't have to haul things. Do you have any kind of stories like that where that's helped out?
Sure. So we actually host a conference here in Chicago every year called Relativity Fest. We have a conference and there's a lot of machines. So we used to take all of these servers, we would lease them, we would image them, and then we would transport them to the conference venue. This process was difficult, or quite a lot of hours. And last year, we started to move everything to the cloud. So we created a self-service provisioning portal, which allowed our conference attendees to get a instance of our software running in Azure right from any computer, any browser. This was tremendously valuable to us because it allowed us to make very rapid changes across all of those servers if we ever had to. If we needed to scale, we could very easily do that without getting more servers and transporting them. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, it gave us the model to create a self-service framework, which we can then extend to the things that I've been talking about before.
Absolutely. Right?
We can extend that to allow a developer to very rapidly test his code.
That's very cool. So naturally, I mean, just like you had choices to choose, you know, Chef or other people, you naturally had a choice on choosing Azure versus other cloud providers. So what's the reason why you chose Azure, and what's the reasons maybe why you continue to choose Azure?
The technology and business proposition of Azure really made sense for us as a company. We are a company that runs on a Microsoft stack, and the reason that we continue to choose Azure is because there are things on Azure coming out that we really want to use. So we want to use Windows Server Nano. We'd like to look at Service Fabric. And the ability for Azure to give us that very rapidly and give it to us quickly has just been increasing.
Okay, very cool. All right, thank you so much, Samir, for your time and this great story.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's been absolutely awesome. Love hearing that stuff.
we're at the start of our journey, and I just can't wait to keep going because I know this is going to be an amazing place that we're going to.